trump will sound. The dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive will be meeting the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. And that day will happen quickly. But are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord today? If he came in just a moment, would you be ready? I want us to look at this wonderful Christmas story in light of that question. Are you prepared for the second coming of Christ? So let us look together in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says this, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray together. Oh God, I do pray that this morning that you, by your Holy Spirit, oh God, would speak to our hearts your powerful word, that our hearts would be forever changed, because as we look at this text, oh God, may we see Jesus. The one who came as a baby boy, was placed in a cradle, yet later endured the cross, but was raised from the dead and is now exalted and wearing a heavenly crown. And oh God, there is one day going to be a coronation where he returns again. So oh God, help us to see the wonders of your word, that our lives might be changed and become more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful text Luke chapter 2 is. A couple of years ago, our Bible quizzers memorized Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20, as a part of their other memorizations through the book. But what a blessing it was to hear them a couple years ago recite this Christmas story. But I want us to look at first in this text the surprising arrival of Christ's coming. The surprising arrival of Christ's coming. He arrived wrapped in our humanity. Let's look together again in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. "And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son." The Son of God, clothed in the riches of heaven, set that aside and became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. He became like one of us. And what a surprise it would have been, the God of this world to become a baby. I want you to understand this, though, that although Jesus, the Son of God, was wrapped in our humanity and became like us, this is very important, that although he became like us, he was like us except in one way, and that he was spotless and pure and had never sinned. He was the Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary. You know, some would deny the virgin birth, and they would say, well, that's just not possible. But it is absolutely crucial that we believe in the virgin birth. Why? Because if he was born from the seed of Abraham and Adam, he would be with sin like each one of us. But because he was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, he was fully God and yet miraculously fully man. Fully God and yet fully man. John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When we saw Jesus, we saw God. When we saw Jesus, we saw the perfect, spotless Son of Man. I'm sure in those beginning stages when Jesus opened his eyes and for the first time saw the world through our eyes. The stable was a little bit blurry. His tiny ears heard the cows and the sheep. His soft skin felt the hay prickle against him as he lay in the cradle. When he would grow up, he would feel the pain of loss and weep over the death of his friend Lazarus. He would be tempted by the devil for 40 days, yet the Bible says he was without sin. He would feel the pain of rejection as one chosen Judas would reject him and send him to the cross. He would feel the hunger and thirst. Why did Jesus become like us? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, that therefore in all things Jesus, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus understands your deepest needs this morning. You see, I get it. We celebrate Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But when that which is wonderful is magnified, the hurts and the pains and the despair and the darkness and the rejection and the temptations are also magnified in light of that which is magnified. We see Jesus offering peace, yet we do not feel peace. We see Jesus offering forgiveness, yet we do not feel forgiven. We celebrate things like the family that we have and the friends that we have and the prosperity and the food. And we give thanks for these, and we ought to give thanks for these. But listen, nowhere in Scripture does God promise us family and friends, prosperity, Christmas music. But what does God promise us this Christmas season? It's this. It's forgiveness. It's that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. It's peace with God. It's experiencing the peace of God. These are things that we ought to celebrate this Christmas season. Also, upon Jesus' arrival, I find it amazing in the text that it says that he was wrapped with cloths. Swaddling cloths is what it says. Look at it in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, I thought this was interesting that they make a note of what Jesus was wrapped in. And in fact, Luke only uses this two times, once here and then once when the angels tell the shepherds about the sign that they would find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So I did a little bit of checking to see what this whole purpose of the cloths were. Well, Jewish babies were wrapped in cloths to protect themselves and to strengthen their limbs, to keep them also from scratching their face with their nails. But Luke uses a word that is used nowhere else in Scripture when he uses this word cloths. But when you go and read literature that was around that time in the Greek language, Luke used a medical term. It was really bandages that he was wrapped with. J.B. Phillips says this, even in the midst of this newborn life is a hint of death. There was a reporter in Tokyo who was asking people the reason for Christmas, and they asked the reporter, they said, what is Christmas all about? And the lady said, isn't that the time when Jesus died? Well, indirectly, she was right, because Jesus was born to die. You see, he entered this life wrapped in cloths, and then he was killed on a cross and was once again wrapped in cloths and laid in a grave. But 3 days later, Jesus arose. He folded that cloth, and he says, "I'm alive." And Jesus, when he came, wrapped himself in our humanity, that upon his death and resurrection, he might offer forgiveness to those who believe and wrap us with himself. The Bible says in Romans that we can clothe ourselves with Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Wow. He also not only was wrapped in our humanity, but he was rejected by humanity. The text says in chapter 2, verse 7, that they laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for him in the inn. You see, the world has never had room for Jesus. When Mary and Joseph came to the innkeeper, he said, "No, sorry, I do not have any rooms." You know, that wasn't entirely true, because there was one room available, and it was the innkeeper's room. He could have given Jesus his room, but he did not. John chapter 1, 10, it says that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And you say, how could they not have known the Son of God? But let me ask you this before you're too hard on them. This morning when you came in, there was a special guest who came here, and we welcomed him. His name was Jesus. You see, you may have come in and you might have noticed the trees and the lights and the instruments and the songs, but did you notice Jesus? You know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. So I'm here in Jesus' name. Do I have a second? Second? Third? Three. He's here. What we may not have known him, we might not have recognized him. You see, he was rejected. In his birth, he was laid in a manger. In his life, Jesus said in John chapter 15, "They hated me without cause." Jesus did no wrong. In his death, he was killed outside the city on a hill called Golgotha. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. The world really had no room for Jesus. It was Herod who tried to kill Jesus by finding out the time from the wise men when the star had appeared and ordered the execution of the children two and under. You know, the world still has no room for Jesus today. You know what thing kind of irks me? Is when we take the word Christmas and we just put an X-mas. X-mas. I mean, we take Christ right out of the name of Christmas. For what? The ease of convenience of not typing 5 more letters? 6 more letters? What was the point? He has no place in our society. The governments have no room for Jesus. Herod tried to order the execution of Jesus. Psalm chapter 2, verse 2 says this, that the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. The world governments have never had room for Jesus. I recently saw a video. This was back in January of last year, with the release of all of these Google and Siri and Alexa, these smart assistants. You can ask these devices questions and they will search the internet and then give you an answer. Well, there's a video posted when Google released theirs, and someone would say, "Hey Google, who is Allah?" And it would answer so-and-so. Who is Muhammad? Who is Joseph Smith? And they will go through all the religious figures in our world. This video is remarkable because the individual says, "Hey Google, who is Jesus Christ?" Google answers, "Sorry, I cannot answer that." "Hey Google, who's Allah?" "He is the creator God." La, da, da. "Hey Google, who's Muhammad?" "The prophet." La, da, 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 da. "Hey Google, who is Jesus?" "Sorry, I can't answer that." Amazing. You know, listen, one day the world will answer who Jesus is. When Jesus comes in his glory and splendor, they will see him as King of Kings and they will crown him Lord. But let me ask you this question. Have you made room for Jesus? Is there room in your life for him? Is there a place set at your Christmas table for Jesus? You know, I was thinking how amazing it would be at our tables that we just set one extra plate. People say, "Oh, who's that?" "It's for Jesus. He's the honored guest." I know that sounds a little cheesy, but maybe it would keep us from speaking things that we ought not to. You know, maybe when you're watching some Christmas films, just save a spot on the couch for Jesus. You might be a little more careful what you watch as well. But oh, how grateful we can be for Jesus. The second thing I want us to see is that there was a sudden announcement of Christ's coming. Let's look again at the story in verse 8. It says this, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" You see, his coming was announced gloriously. Luke chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, that an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You know, I used to always think that it was the angels that were radiating their sparkle and their flare. No. When these angels announced the arrival, God displayed his glory. It was his, not the angels. It was God's glory. You see, the innkeeper said, "There is no room." The angels declared, "Make room. Jesus, the King of Kings, has come." The angels declared the good news. This was a birth announcement like none other. You know, I watch on Facebook and Instagram and all these birth announcements. But I mean, this was to a whole nother level. The thousands upon thousands of the angelic hosts praising glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. What a glorious announcement there was. You know, there is a lot of joy in a family announcing the arrival of their child. My wife and I got to experience that this summer when we welcomed little Emily into this world. But think about this. How much more our Father in heaven was excited to announce the arrival of the Son of God. The Son of God. I watched a little video where these kids are depicting this Christmas story, and the little kid's angel said, "Well, when you're going, can we at least sing? Please, can we sing?" they said. Oh, there was such great glory in that announcement. But also, his coming was announced personally. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you." And this was a very personal announcement to these shepherds. In fact, there are three specific occasions in which these angels announced this message to them personally. They said, I bring things of great joy that will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in the manger. What were the angels doing? The angels were announcing to the shepherds the answer to their three greatest needs in life. Well, what are the greatest needs in life? They're these: sin, sorrow, and death. And if you have any problem, they will just be in a subcategory of one of those: sin, sorrow, or death. So what did they announce? Luke chapter 2, verse 10, they announced that these were good tidings of great joy. What a contrast to sorrow. You might have a sorrow over sin, guilt, remorse, loss. They said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Sin, they said, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. His name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And then they said, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, they pointed the shepherds to the way to find Jesus who would give everlasting life and forever take the sting and fear out of death. You know, here's the simplicity of it. The way to experience all of this is to simply believe on Jesus. Suppose his salvation was offered for a sum of money. Well, not everyone would have the money to buy it. Suppose his salvation was offered for those who could read the message. Well, not everyone can read. But the Bible says that those who would believe on him shall not perish and have everlasting life. And each one of us can choose to believe. Jesus is the answer to the three greatest needs in your life. What an exciting announcement. Not only was it personally announced, but it was also announced to the whole world. It was announced globally. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. You know, Jesus came into this world to die for the sins of the whole world. Now, don't get the wrong idea that everyone in this world will just end up being saved. This is called universalism, and it's incorrect theology. But it does say this in the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, there are those who believe and can receive the forgiveness of God, and there are those who choose to reject this salvation, and the condemnation of God remains on them. But his forgiveness was offered to all. Each one of you here this morning can experience the cleansing blood of Calvary in your life that can wash away your sins. Now, this message the shepherds heard first originated from heaven and was declared by the angels, but now it is the people of God that carry on this message to the whole world. You see, I did a little bit of checking, and I may be wrong, but from this point on, I don't see the angels announcing any longer the gospel message of Jesus. But it does say that when the shepherds had seen him, that they made widely known the sayings that were concerning that child. The angels did a good job because they got their job replaced by the shepherds. And they went around sharing and spreading this good news. These shepherds, indirectly, were the first missionaries in our modern day, telling the good news about Jesus. You know, are you telling people about Jesus? Does it come naturally to you? You know, I think that telling people about Jesus will never become a reality on our lips until he's a reality in our life. Because it says this, that when the shepherds saw him, they made widely known the sayings that were told them concerning that child. One encounter with Jesus forever changed their life. But how about for you? Have you encountered Jesus in such a way that he has radically transformed your life? That has also caused you to share about the good news of Jesus? What we need is not more training in evangelism, but more time with Jesus. The shepherds didn't take any course to find out how to tell anybody about Jesus. They saw him and they told the world about him. What an encounter that was. And we have the opportunity this Christmas season to tell others about Jesus. And what a joy that is to tell people the real reason of Christmas this Christmas season. The last thing I want us to see is that there's a set appointment for Christ's coming. You see, he came the first time at just the right time. And as I told you at the outset, he is coming again. And we ought not to read this Christmas story and forget about the coming of Christ again. Really, this story prepares our hearts for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that for the shepherds, this appointment with Christ was important to them. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." When they were announced this glorious good news, suppose they had just delayed. "Well, we'll go check it out at some point," they discussed among themselves. No, their discussion in verse 15 says, they said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing which the Lord has told us about." You know, there's many people who hear the gospel message and hear the good news during this Christmas season, and instead of obeying and seeking Christ, they delay. They put it off for another time. But the Bible says that now is the day of salvation, right now. You might be here, and you've come to churches over and over and over again, and you've heard the message over and over and over again. Let me say this, and let it be a warning to you, that the more you continue to reject the gospel, the harder your heart will become to that gospel. And I plead with you, if you hear the voice of God, respond. And respond immediately in your heart to his pleading to come to him. And he will receive you. It was more important than their occupation. These shepherds were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks, and yet that seemed of no concern to them because they immediately left for Bethlehem. You see, many of us don't seek the Lord because we're too busy in our occupations. We just don't have time for the Lord. I remember when I was working at the bakery, and there was a dilemma because I was going for a job interview, and the manager says, "Well, we will need you for this Sunday and this Sunday and this Sunday and this Sunday." And I told her, I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." "Well, you have to, everyone else does." I said, "Then I'm not interested in the position." And I got up and I turned around and I opened the door, and I was halfway out the door, and she says, "Wait, stop. We can make it work." Now, I'm not saying every Sunday everyone has to be here all the time, but there is a importance of meeting together. Because when we meet together, we encourage each other and we seek the face of God together, that we might know him and learn about him, and that his life might transform ours. But is your job more important than Christ? Are you so busy you don't have time in the Word? You don't have time for prayer? You don't have time to go to church? There is something wrong. But God loves you, and he wants the very best for you, and so his invitation for you is to come to me. This appointment was not only important to them, it was imminent. You see, when they were on the hills keeping watch over their flocks by night, they had no idea this announcement was coming. They had no precursor. Tomorrow the angels are going to show up, so get ready. No wonder they were so afraid. The dark night was lit up with the angels of God announcing this glorious news. But you know, there is a second coming of Christ that is also imminent. As I quoted earlier, the trump will sound. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive and remain will meet the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. But are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Is there room in your heart for Jesus that causes you to wait with anticipation for his return? Not only was this appointment important, more important than their occupation, it was more important than their reputation. You know, imagine the thoughts that could go through their minds. I wonder what people will think of us leaving our sheep to go look for a baby in Bethlehem. Is Christ the Lord? They're going to think we've gone crazy. You know, you set your reputation aside and you go seek Jesus and he will defend you. It won't matter to you anymore what the people say. If they hated Jesus, they'll hate you. Their appointment with Christ was definite. You know, suppose they said, we just won't go. Would they ever have met Jesus? Yes. You see, you can choose in your life to reject Jesus your whole life. But one day when Jesus returns, you will meet him. If you do not meet him as Savior now, you will meet him as a judge later. Not at his first coming, but you will meet him at his second coming. But let me ask you this question in closing. Would you come to Jesus today? Right now. As I said, the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. And during this Christmas season, whether you are a child of God or not, one thing I know about me and about you, and that is this, that we need Jesus. We need his daily power at work in our lives to live victorious over sin. We need his comfort in our sorrow. We need his life in our lives. But have you made room for him this morning? I want to invite Maria to come, and she's going to play a song in closing that we will sing together. And I love the line in the song because it says, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. You see, you can choose this morning to experience all that Jesus wants you to experience. But you ought to come to him. His invitation is open to you. If you are not a child of God, you can simply say this, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that you came to save me, and I ask now that you would come and forgive me and cleanse me of all my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again. Be Savior and Lord in my life. And the Bible says that he will cleanse you and wash you. But I have to admit and suppose that many of us are not at a place that we want to be in our walk with God. The answer, you need to seek the Lord. Jesus said this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things of the earth will be added to you and well. All these concerns and cares that you carry with you this morning. So as we sing the song together, I want you to stand. May this be a song of response for us this morning, O little town of Bethlehem.